Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimek. It is Monday, October the 19th, and I'm so glad to be back with you. I hope you had a great weekend. Today we're going to talk about a lot of things. Really, we're really going to look at the mass read. Today's mass readings, they are so powerful. And it's a reminder. I think the reminder for us today is that everything that we have or anything we accomplish, everything is a gift from God. It's all due to grace. Yes, we can cooperate with the grace. We can do some things, but we want to be really careful that we don't get cocky and that we don't begin to think that we're all that, you know, like because I'm such a good person, I'm doing all these things. The entrance antiphon from today's Mass, this is a reminder for us. You know, this is going to be one of those shows. It's feel good in the sense that, you know me, I always like to try to make this the good news because it is all the good news, but sometimes the good news has to be that reminder that we shouldn't get too far ahead of ourselves. The good news is that God gives us grace, unlimited grace, to help us to get to heaven. We're only going to get to heaven through His grace. But listen to this response, or this entrance antiphon. Now, this is what's read at the beginning of daily Mass. It's a combination from Galatians 6:14 and 1 Corinthians 1:18. These are two of the excerpts from the writing of St. Paul. Paul said this, "May we never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the word of the cross is the power of God to us who have been saved." In order for us to be saved, in order to achieve our salvation, to be able to live in heaven, somebody has to save us, right? Because in order to be saved, we need a Savior, and that's Jesus. So by virtue of what Jesus did on the cross, you and I are able to live in heaven. And there's your first good news of the day. That should be the good news of the rest of the year and the good news of our lives, that we are able to live in heaven even though we are not worthy. And make no mistake, we're not worthy, but Jesus is worthy. And through Him, we are able to access, we are able to access the Father. We can share His Father, and we can also get to heaven. So that's a lot of good news on the program today. Let's pray, and then we'll get right on with the show. And yeah, let's pray first. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for another beginning to the week. This is Monday. We start a new week today, Father. We thank you for being here for us. Father, we thank you for being merciful to us. We thank you for letting us be called your children, your sons and daughters. We thank you for the love that you show to us, your unconditional love, Father. We thank you for allowing us to, in some small way, glimpse and get an idea of your power. And we thank you for your power, Father, and we praise you for it because through your power, we realize we have nothing to fear. You are completely in control of the world at all times, even though it doesn't seem like it. But we thank you for that, Father. We pray that we are able to have greater confidence in you, that we can trust you more, and that we are willing to completely surrender our lives to you. Father, we pray for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit this day. Please guide our thoughts. Please guide our words. And please guide our actions. Please also control our emotions. Father, I ask that you give me the words for this program today, and that you open all of our minds and all of our hearts to be receptive to your message. Father God, I ask these things in the most holy name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. My name is Gary Zimek. The name of this show is Following the Truth. If you're a new listener, I really want to thank you. We do this 5 days a week, every Monday through Friday, 30 minutes each day. And what's the format of the show? Well, let me tell you. We sit around, or we walk, however you want to look at it. I like to envision you sitting across the table from me. I've got my cup of hot coffee here. I'm going to take a sip now. Nice and hot, perfect for a fall day. we sit around, we talk about the gospel, and we talk about how Jesus wants to get involved in your life and my life, and how with him, we can walk through life and be at peace and one day live with him forever in heaven. See, all good news on this show. Sometimes we get caught up, we get so caught up. We actually manage, as Catholic Christians sometimes, we manage to turn the good news into bad news. It's not bad news, it's good news. That doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't have to be tough with us sometimes. He does. But it's still all good news, because here's why it's good news. When Jesus gives us a harsh reminder, such as he will in today's gospel, that gives me a chance to make corrections in my life so that I can one day live with him forever. Because, like it or not, you and me, we're going to be judged at the end of our life. And you might say, well, Gary, that's bad news. No, that's good news. Because if we just follow his commandments and ask for the help, the grace, which we'll hear about today, to be good, to do the will of the Father, and then do it. Ask for the grace and then do good to the best of our ability. When we mess up, we ask for forgiveness. As long as we keep doing that and are honest about it, we're going to get to heaven. And that's when we will live forever with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, all the angels and saints, and all of our deceased family members who are also in heaven, right? Anybody who's in heaven, we're going to be with them. And we will live in a world that is free from problems or sickness or difficulties, and it's going to last forever. Now, for somebody like me, who tends to be anxious, who tends to struggle with suffering, right? That's my tendency. That sounds really, really attractive. So that is good news. All I have to do is imitate Jesus to the best of my ability. And he gave me his spirit to do it, to help us, to help me. And if I do that, and when I mess up, seek forgiveness, tell him I'm sorry. For Catholics, we do that through the sacrament of confession or penance or reconciliation, whatever you want to call it. And that's all I need to do. If I do that, I will be able to live with him forever in heaven. On days when I'm struggling, that thought keeps me going. And I think we need to think about that more, right? We need to think about that more. So, with that in mind, I want to look at the readings from today's Daily Mass. And I want to start with the Gospel, because this is what I do. If you ever listen to my weekly show, the Gary Zimek Show, I start with the Gospel, because the Gospel has a place of prominence. And really, the Gospel is what we want to focus on. All the Bible, every word in the Bible is considered to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. So it's God speaks through the entire Bible, but the Church teaches that the Gospels are extra special. So I like to start with the Gospel here, because it's a great message today. It's Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, try to picture this. You know, Jesus is preaching, he's walking all over the place, and we got these people yelling out to him and asking things and hearing his response. Just try to picture that for a minute. Try to picture yourself being in that crowd. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. Now, I want to call your attention to something. Jesus isn't talking about inheritances, about family members treating each other fairly in terms of money. He's not even talking about that. But this person is so concerned with money that they're bringing it to the attention of Jesus. And I think that's very telling. And Jesus said, friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator? Then he said to the crowd, take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions. You see, what happened here, Jesus knew that there was a problem. When this guy yelled out, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me, there was a greed issue going on here, and that's what Jesus was able to recognize. Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, One's life does not consist of possessions. I think we all need to hear that today, don't we? If we're being honest, possessions, earthly things, comfort, they can get in the way of our relationship with Jesus. They really can. It's a challenge for me. Even though I don't have very much now, I still tend to like material things and comfort. That's it's different than I used to really spend a lot on things, on little junky toys and all when I was in my single days, even in the early days of our marriage. But as time went on, as we had kids and I got into full-time ministry, that really had to come to an end. But there's still this tendency for me to like comfort. And it's challenging. It's challenging. I'm going to be honest. It's challenging. But the Lord has helped me. And if you're somebody who struggles with that, I would give you the advice that a priest gave me in confession one time. When he said, just pray for the desire, ask the Lord to take the desire for material things and comfort away from you. And I'll tell you, it really does work. So I would pass that along and tell you to give it a try. So then Jesus tells a parable. And he said this, there was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, what shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest. And he said, this is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry. So this guy, he doesn't want to depend on God to provide for him. He wants to make sure that he can provide for himself. So he's going to store up all this grain so that he can just put his feet up and relax. And for many years, in his words, rest, eat, drink, and be merry. How many of us struggle with the idea of give us this day our daily bread? My hand's up right now. Why? Because I struggle with this. I don't like to depend on God for his providence. It's hard because I have to trust him. That's very normal if you struggle with that. Many people do. Now, this is not saying, Jesus is not saying, don't save up, don't be prudent and save for a rainy day. It's a good and wise thing to save. But how much is enough? Sometimes we get so caught up in saving for a rainy day that we're not just saving for a rainy day, we're saving for a flood. Right? We're saving for Noah's time. Sometimes we got to part with some of the money and donate to people who are in need. Share with our neighbors, our friends. You know, sometimes, and that's between you and the Holy Spirit. That's a struggle that I have. It's a dialogue that I have with the Holy Spirit as well. How much do I need to save? And when do I part with some of what I have? And trust that God's going to provide for my needs. And I can be God's answer to somebody else's prayer by providing for them. Because people are starving. People don't have money these days. There are poor people in your community, in your church possibly. Certainly in the country, certainly in the world. That's a good discussion to have. Am I holding on too much? Am I trying to provide my own security, the security that only God really can provide? Because no matter how much money we have, it could all be wiped out. We think it can't happen. It can happen. You know? We think, oh, I can always get access to my money. We never know. And if COVID-19 didn't teach us that, nothing will. I mean, all the rules are different now. Anything is possible. I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm trying to say, let's not get too comfortable and think that we are in control. We have only the control that God gives us. And this guy is trying to control everything. He's trying to control his happiness, his provision, in a way that only God can. So continuing on with the parable, but God said to this man, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for the one who stores up treasure for himself, but is not rich in what matters to God. That's a tough lesson. Storing up treasure for yourself, but not rich in what matters to God. It's not all about storing up treasure on earth. It's about storing up treasure in heaven by doing good deeds, by getting to know Jesus, by offering to help him in his mission. And we can do that in a lot of different ways, by offering up our suffering, by helping others, by contributing financially, by trusting in him. See, this guy didn't trust in God either. He trusted in himself. Give us this day our daily bread. That's a common theme. We see it in the Bible. We see it in the book of Exodus. When the Israelites were traveling through the desert, God made it so that their manna would only last for a day. They would be provided with what they needed for that day. That's a hard way for some of us to live because we're not used to it. But it's a very freeing way, and you're going to get a lot of peace if you can learn to put that into practice. It's going to take some time, but I've seen it in my own life, that you begin to feel a lot more peaceful when you depend on God. And I would recommend you give it a try. We're all going to be different. It doesn't mean you sell all of your possessions. You do what's right for you and for your family. But you don't want to be at a point where you are not depending on God, because then what you're doing is you're living like a practical atheist. You are living as if God doesn't exist. If you don't give him a chance to provide for you, if you don't, you know, if you're just hoarding your money and not helping anybody, you know, and you don't give up the rent money, maybe you give up the pleasure money. That's what God wants you to do. Many of us can cut into our pleasure money and give, even though it hurts a little bit, to help somebody pay their bills, have food to eat. And you know, it's not always money, but money is important, because I think we kid ourselves sometimes. Yes, it's time, talent, and treasure. God wants us to give in a number of different ways, but it's very easy for us to exclude money. I mean, it really is. To say, yes, well, I will give of my time, but I still want all my money, my thousands of dollars in the bank, because you never know. No, money has to be at least looked at. So again, challenging message, but a good one. And I've found that when you give, even when it hurts a little bit, you're going to have a lot more peace, and you will get to see how God will provide for your needs. And again, you are the answer to somebody else's prayer, because somebody else out there in the world is praying for money right now, is praying for the ability to meet, to pay their bills at the end of the month, or to provide food for their families. And God can work through you and me to answer that prayer. Let's look at the first reading now. This is a good one. It's Ephesians chapter 2, St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Brothers and sisters, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you once lived, following the age of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the disobedient. What Paul's doing is pointing to the way they were, and if you're like me, if you've had any kind of a conversion experience where you went through that internal, that metanoia, or that change, not necessarily converting to Catholicism, but converting internally, changing, making an inward change, surrendering your life to Jesus. And you look at your life before, you look at your life after, it's drastic, the difference. That's what Paul's talking about. All of us, he says, once lived among them in the desires of our flesh, following the wishes of the flesh and the impulses. And we were by nature children of wrath like the rest. And Paul's referring to that attitude that we see from the rich man in the parable, whose land produced the great harvest. And what did he do? He built a larger barns so that he could stockpile all of his grain just in case he wouldn't be able to have so much grain in the future, and that so that he could take it easy. He was focused on the material possessions, the grain, in order to make his life on earth easy. And then Paul states, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved, raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you. It is the gift of God. It is not from works, so that no one may boast. For we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that God has prepared in advance that we should live in them. Now, this reminder here is that we are saved by grace. I can't get to heaven on the merit of my own works. The only way I can get to heaven is by virtue of what Christ did on the cross for me, and the grace that comes through that sacrifice, really through the church. And then I can cooperate with the grace and be able to live in heaven. But I'm not getting there because of my good works. I'm getting there because of Jesus and the grace that he gives me. We are not self-sufficient. The guy in the parable was trying to live without God. He was trying to perform, or he was trying to depend solely on himself, provide for all of his own needs, and not be dependent on anybody, including God. That's not the way we are supposed to be. We are dependent on God, whether we accept it or not. But I think we have this tendency to like to depend on ourselves, because we trust ourselves more than we trust God. It's the truth hurts, right? But isn't that the truth? So what can we do? Well, we can take steps to trust him more. We can take steps to trust him more by surrendering our life to him, by committing to not grumbling when things don't go our way. Because once we say your will be done, then it only follows that we should accept his will. And what's his will? Well, whatever happens. Because God is all powerful, he can do all things. So when something unpleasant happens in our life, it's something that he is allowing to happen. Why? Because he can bring good out of it. So anytime something unpleasant happens, we can accept it, we can offer it up. We could say, I unite this suffering with the suffering of Jesus. Please, Jesus, use it to save souls. And in the meantime, what are you trying to teach me? You know, a lot of times he's just trying to teach us something too with suffering. He's trying to teach us that this life on earth is not all there is. Sometimes when we suffer here, depending on, you know, can be any number of different things, chronic illness, financial struggles, fear of the coronavirus, frustration as to what's going on in our country, the division, the hatred. A lot of times he's trying to remind us that this life is not all there is. There is a better life on the other side of death. When we die, we're going to have the ability to live in heaven. And see, the guy who built the bigger barns, he wasn't focused on that. He was focused on making, he was focused on setting up heaven on earth. And we do that when we try to be comfortable, don't ever want to suffer. That's when we do that. Now I'm going to give you a little example. I'll tell you, I don't like to suffer. I like to be comfortable. I have to get blood work done, my routine blood work. Eileen and I are going on Wednesday to get our blood work done at the doctor's. And they're doing the blood work at the doctor's office, and it's a fasting test, so I can't eat in the morning. And we're not going till you know, a little later in the morning. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I can't eat breakfast that day. How am I going to survive? You know, wait, it's once a year. There are people who are starving who every day don't have enough to eat. You know, I'm so spoiled sometimes. I'm embarrassed to admit it. And I catch myself when I'm like this, and I realize just how much I love comfort and how much I don't like suffering. That's not even a big deal. But it teaches me a lesson, and I think it's a good lesson to learn. And I think Jesus wants us to remember to avoid being like this guy with the barns. He wants us to pray that prayer, give us this day our daily bread, not give us for the rest of our lives our daily bread, so that we can learn to trust on his Father as he did. So there you go. That's the message today. Everything we have is a gift, including our ability to go to heaven one day. It's all a gift. It's all due to grace. All the food we've eaten, all gifts from the Lord. And let's try to be grateful for these gifts and recognize it. Recognize just how dependent on God we really are. So that's the message of today. And, you know, I still say it's good news. It really is good news. What's the good news? Well, the good news is God's provided for us every moment from when we were first conceived up until right now. Otherwise, we wouldn't exist. Amen? Right? So it is good news. Hey, it was great hanging out with you on the program today. If you would be so kind as to consider making a donation to my ministry. It's a time when I'm really dependent on getting some additional donations. If you're able to become a monthly sponsor, you can do it for $10 a month, which I think equates to 33 cents a day, and you could cancel it at any time. If you would be willing to become a monthly sponsor of my work, you can just go to followingthetruth.com, click on donate, and you can do it completely securely at that point through PayPal. If you'd rather make a one-time donation, you can do that as well. But just please consider it. I would really, really appreciate it. And I wouldn't ask you if I didn't need it. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. And I hope to see you tomorrow on Following the Truth.